to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is Chris again talking about NXT. Another, I would say, average show. I would say tonight was average at best. A lot of buildup for TakeOver Portland, and that's the next big thing that I'm looking forward to. You know, we are looking about a month away on TakeOver Portland. Let me see if I can get an exact date on that. I do not, of course, but it is about a month away. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheCO Place to Go. Same thing on Twitch, but mainly on Twitter at TheCO Place to Go. Notice everybody did a at WWE Podcast. Everybody did a like a collaboration talking about the Royal Rumble and Raw and different things like that. I would love to do one of those. Hook me up. Let me in. Let me join. Please, please, please. Appreciate wherever you're listening to us, whether it's on Apple Speaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, anywhere that you would potentially be listening to the show. It is much appreciated. The first thing we're going to do is talk about this week in wrestling. Obviously, Worlds Collide was last Saturday. Did a review on Worlds Collide. You had a big cruiserweight four-way, fatal four-way match with Jordan Devlin becoming the new champion. Very excited about him. I've been talking about him the last few weeks from Blackpool. Really Blackpool into him then winning and getting a chance to be in the tournament. First time I ever saw him was in the first Blackpool. I believe it was the first one where he ended up facing Finn Balor. That was absolutely fantastic. I became a fan of his. You know, I've been saying the last few weeks, I don't know a lot about NXT UK. And I really don't. Worlds Collide, Blackpool, kind of shown a little bit of a light on it. Obviously know who Imperium is, Mustache Mountain, you know, some of these guys, but I don't know about much about it at all. But Jordan Devlin is someone who does stand out. Very excited about that win. The main event, absolutely fantastic. Imperium versus Undisputed Era, you know, of course, one of the big things that could be mentioned that is, you know, Adam Cole getting the soul chopped out of him a few weeks ago was fantastic. In Worlds Collide, you know, that match did not disappoint. It wasn't too much Walter versus Cole. Walter, of course, did stand out. But, you know, overall, I thought the match was fantastic. You know, top two match of the night. In addition to that was the tag match, DIY versus Mustache Mountain. Absolutely great. Everything that you wanted it to be. Later in the night, you have Finn Balor attacking Johnny Gargano, which then ends up setting up a meeting where, you know, I saw it. I think it was like a WWE.com exclusive or something like that. You had Trent Seven coming to the arena, gets attacked by Finn Balor. After, I believe it was Tyler Bate who broke up the Gargano fight, which, you know, they didn't say it, of course, but it did set up a match for tonight. It was going to be your opening match, so very excited about that. What else do we have this weekend? Of course, Royal Rumble. Now, one thing I will say is I predicted the matches last week. Every single match that I predicted, the person I predicted won, except for the two Rumbles. Is that a huge loss? Kinda. I was kinda hoping to at least get one of the Rumbles, but every other match was spot on. Women's Rumble. I thought it was gonna be Sasha or Ronda Rousey. Neither one was in the Rumble. Kinda surprised by Sasha, to be quite honest. I mean, did her spot go to Santina Marella? Maybe. That was terrible. A couple big things in that. Big fan of Becky, not Becky Lynch, of Beth Phoenix. Came out, you know, busted her head open pretty good, bleeding, you know, she looked a little bit out of it right after it happened. I noticed blood on somebody's face. I forgot who it was. And you know, Beth Phoenix, real trooper, real trooper, because that was a pretty big cut in the back of her head. Bianca Belair looked absolutely fantastic, knocking people out. You know, she worked the whole first half of the Rumble pretty much as a superstar, knocking everybody out. In the men's Rumble, you had Brock, which I wasn't a big fan of the beginning of the Rumble. Like, you know, one of the big things at the Rumble, I don't like when there's too many guys in the ring, but I also don't like when there's only one in the ring for about 20 seconds while he's getting a rest while everybody else comes in. I'm a big fan of 4 to 5 guys action, you know, not 10 guys, because then it gets kind of sloppy when it's only 2 guys. You know, towards the end is awesome, but not at the beginning. Drew McIntyre looked great. Him knocking him out, and I believe I saw this, that Drew McIntyre's challenging Brock Lesnar for the championship at WrestleMania 36, I believe it is, in Tampa, which is originally where I'm from. I will not be going back to see that. I got a little camping trip going on that weekend, so I will actually, I'm not going to be there for any. I'm not going to see TakeOver Tampa. I'm not going to see WrestleMania. I'm not going to catch that until probably the night after, which is insane. It'll be the first WrestleMania I haven't watched live, or at least a great portion of it, in probably 15 years. Maybe even longer. That's insane. But yeah, I'm going to miss the whole weekend, but you got a McIntyre challenging for that. You have McIntyre who got the win. Like I said, you had Charlotte getting the win. Not the direction I would have gone in with Charlotte winning. Shayna Baszler is someone whose name I threw out there, thinking, you know, if Rousey wouldn't get in, if Sasha wouldn't get in. And I did think she was going to get the win. She did not, which is quite unfortunate. But, you know, a lot of talk about Charlotte challenging Rhea Ripley. Now, Rhea Ripley does have a match at TakeOver Portland against Bianca Belair, so we don't want to look too far ahead. But the talk is having Charlotte challenge for the NXT Women's / not Women's, just NXT Championship belt. And then, to me, the biggest thing that happened at the Royal Rumble was Edge coming back. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. Played out really well. Facial expressions well. Working with Orton, which of course sets up what happened on Raw the night after, because he did go against Orton. Edge being back, I think I saw his 3-year contract, $3 million a year, 20 appearances, I think it was, 5 matches a year, something like that. You know, talking about a cake schedule to make $3 million a year, that is amazing, but also keeps him healthy, which is one of the biggest things. You know, you want a guy like him to stay healthy. And so I did mention what happened on Raw. You did have him and Orton meet up. Orton does lay him out. Some nice stiff chair shots. It was absolutely fantastic. This is a great storyline. It plays well into the history between the guys. And it plays very well with pretty much everything that, you know, you were setting up for potentially one of the best WrestleManias in years. I feel like you got a guy who hasn't been in it in years. Does Beth Phoenix still keep wrestling? I think she's looked great. Beth Phoenix needs to be maybe not full time, but maybe wrestling once a month, maybe 2 times every, once every 3 weeks, let's say, just kind of getting out there. Just, you know, if the storyline's right, you know, wrestle for a couple months and then take the rest of the year off. Just, I think Beth Phoenix and Edge, perfect timing. Great to see them both back. We'll get into our one birthday that we do every week. The birthday this time, 57 years old, is Hardcore Holly. To me, it's crazy. Like, you know, he's been around for a really long time, but the fact that he's 57 years old, it seems like a lot of these guys, 57 was the age of Scott Steiner. Age is creeping up on all these guys, and you know, the guys that you used to watch, you know. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you. When Raw and SmackDown were good, they're all old. Everybody's old at this point, you know. You know, obviously best known for being in WWE. I remember him when he started as Bob Spark Plug Holly. He used to race back in the day. He used to, I think it was like 95, he raced like a WWE-sponsored some type of car. It wasn't like a NASCAR. It was like the smaller, like stock car versions. One of the biggest things I remember of him was the match that he had in ECW, and I want to say it was, I know it was against Rob Van Dam, but I want to say it was probably 2005, 2006, when he went through a table on the side of the ring. After that match, I remember he had to have, he had 24 stitches. It was a pretty nasty cut between his shoulder blades on his upper back. He wrestled the rest of the match. I mean, he did not quit. Was no quitting at all. I think it was absolutely fantastic. It was, you know, to me, that's what I remember about Bob Holly. And I just think that, you know, it shows how he's always been known for being stiff, like a stiff worker. But, I mean, to me, something like that, that shows you just how stiff and tough that dude actually is. Going on to last week, what happened in last week's episode, really the only thing that truly stood out, obviously the Dusty Rhodes Classic, the semis were last week, but you have Keith Lee. Keith Lee was your new North American champion. Very excited about that. Excited about some of the new championship changes. You know, I was very surprised Angel Garza lost his belt at Worlds Collide. But like I said earlier, excited about Jordan Devlin. You've got Keith Lee as your new North American champion. And then, you know, setting up a takeover Portland. And we're going to go over some of the matches later. But let me tell you, I really, really feel like there's going to be a couple more changes. I think this is the time that the Undisputed Era loses all of their gold. Roderick Strong's already lost his. I think this is where the tag team loses their belt, Fish and O'Reilly. And I really think Adam Cole has held on the belt for a long time. I think it's time that whoever he gets to sign that contract later will be the person to take it off him. And, you know, honestly, like, it has to be Ciampa. Like, you look at it, and that's the guy that it has to be. Just based on storyline, I think it's time that Ciampa gets to ride into WrestleMania as the champion. Alright, so we're going to get into the first match of the night. First match of the night was something that we discussed at the beginning, what happened after, sometime after Worlds Collide, Royal Rumble-ish time. I believe it was after Worlds Collide. You had Trent Seven getting attacked by Finn Balor after Tyler Bate stopped the attack of Finn Balor on Gargano. It was a, like a WWE.com exclusive. It could have been earlier today. I'm not really sure when it was. It was sometime in the last 3 or 4 days, and you have Trent Seven stopping him, and so this sets up a match between Tyler Bate and Finn Balor. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Finn Balor and Trent Seven. What I'm saying is, can we see Finn Balor and Tyler Bate? That would be a fantastic match, something I'm looking forward to. If Mustache Mountain in general, you know, they were the ones to step in for that fight. So I feel like before we get TakeOver Portland, I feel like there's definitely going to be a Finn Balor and Tyler Bate match. But first, you get the match with Trent Seven, which, you know, I'm still okay with. It's Finn Balor. Finn Balor puts on a good match with just about everybody. Trent Seven, like I've said before, a little bit thicker than I remember him being, but, you know, he still puts on great matches. And Mustache Mountain in general, they're very just, they're so fluid with their moves, especially tag team wise, but they're so precise. All the moves are precise, everything looks good. And Trent Seven is one of those guys that he surprised me. First time I ever saw him wrestle, I was like, wow, this guy actually does stuff that I didn't think he could do. In that match, after looking at TakeOver Portland, is about 18 days away or so from right now. But let's get back to this. So Trent Seven faces Finn Balor. Kind of like I've been doing a lot. You know, we're not going to go into a play-by-play. I want you guys to watch these matches. This is just for me to kind of give you my opinion on the matches. Hopefully you've already watched it. You just want to hear what somebody has to say about it, which is totally cool for me, because I'm not going to explain all these moves. If I did, I would be an announcer, and I'm not an announcer. I would go, oh, geez. Who's a dude? JD from NY. I don't know if you know who JD from NY is. He does a lot of stuff on Twitter and YouTube. And I know I met him. He came and did a meet and greet in New York at the restaurant I was at. I got him in there, and, you know, it was awesome. Dude's a great guy. Real tough online, like real very opinionated, things like that. He does great work, you know, and he likes wrestling for wrestling. He tells you exactly what it is. I haven't paid attention to any of his columns in a long time. Do follow him on Twitter, so I do see some of the stuff he says. You know, but he's one of those guys where, you know, I love being able to see the love-hate relationship that the people who listen to him and watch him and things like that have. And that's what I want to have, because he doesn't go into these moves. Now, he's also an announcer for House of Glory Wrestling, which I'm not sure if they even still do House of Glory. If I'm not mistaken, didn't like Master P, or was it Master P? Somebody bought House of Glory Wrestling. And I know he did, he used to do commentary for them. But so he gets paid to do that. But when he does his online show, the reviews, he just talks about them. So, in this match, 100%, Finn Balor's the heel. He was as aggressive as it comes. This match, like I said, it was all Finn Balor, in my opinion. You know, Trent Seven played the babyface role pretty good. He did get a few moves in. But, you know, Balor started fighting him literally during his entrance. So it wasn't very good. Seven did get a few good shots in. Finn Balor hit him with a big John Woo dropkick into the coup de grace and then finished with the 1916. Definitely the right guy won, because this pushes through that, you know, he beats up Gargano, Mustache Mountain comes in, so you're going to see Tyler Bate in a week or two, I would assume, facing Finn Balor, just to kind of get the whole storyline going through. Trent Seven in this match, to me, never had an opportunity from the beginning. You know, he came in, I don't want to say injured, but, you know, because he did get beaten up. 2.5 out of 3 stars on, or 2.5 out of 5 stars on this. If it was Tyler Bate, I think we would have been at a 3.5, maybe potentially even a 4-star match, because those, you know, him and Finn Balor put on an absolute great performance. It's about a 10-minute match, I think, at the most. Finn Balor, the right guy to win. Let's hope we see Tyler Bate in the next 2 weeks. That would be a match to truly watch. One thing I will say is, you know, when you look at matches, when you look at, you know, a card that has 5 or 6 matches on, you see Finn Balor's name on it, to me it's an automatic, like, I can't wait to see this match. I mean, Finn has had some, I don't want to say so-so matches, but, you know, he's on the card and he can make matches look good. The thing is he's a guy who can work well with anybody. I would love to see him and Jordan Devlin again. But Tyler Bate's next. You got Johnny Gargano. I think Gargano's going to get the win. I do not think Balor is going to beat him at TakeOver Portland, but that's talk for an episode 2 to 3 weeks down the road. So I don't want to get too much into that right now. But, you know, it was a good first match. The aggressiveness at the beginning was fantastic, and it's something you like to see. I love the fact that NXT always comes out with something hot, always something hot off the press. It's absolutely fantastic. Where some shows, you know, lead into, and of course you want the main event to be the biggest thing, but there's a lot of matches that NXT has that could be a main event, this not being one of them. Like I said, 2.5 out of 5 on the rating scale. Next match, Shotzi Blackheart versus Deonna Purrazzo, and Shotzi came out driving like a mini tank. I don't understand what was happening there. Kind of like that Rusev, well, super, super bootleg. You know, actually, speaking of which, I heard that at the Royal Rumble, who's a Sammy Guevara from AEW, came out riding like a small tank, like a kid's play size type tank looking thing. Similar to the DX invasion of WCW back in the day. I heard he did that for Royal Rumble or Worlds Collide. I forgot which one it was. I think it might have been Worlds Collide. I saw it yesterday, so I don't really know which day it was for, but I thought that was quite humorous. So Shotzi Blackheart comes out riding a small tank. I'm huge on Shotzi Blackheart. I think she is going to be great. I think she's going to be the next person on there. She faced Deonna Purrazzo. I mean, the match was less than 5 minutes. Wasn't very long. I feel like, you know, Shotzi Blackheart has a ton of potential. The match was not good. I mean, I'm giving it a 1.5 out of 5. So far, first two matches to me have been a little disappointing. You know, I think she's got all the potential in the world, but I feel like it's still a little rough. Like, you know, some of the moves she does. Of course, she's no Aaliyah. I mean, I can put off a better match than Aaliyah can. But, you know, Shotzi Blackheart, like I said, has all the potential in the world. You know, she's a flyer. She's a striker. She's a mix of a bunch of different types of wrestlers, and I love her. I think she's going to be great. Really, you know, really excited to see where she goes. It can only go up. It can only go up. Next match was Dominik Dijakovic versus Damian Priest. There was a little bit of talk with in relation to Keith Lee and everything before this. Now, does this set up a number one contendership? I don't think so. I mean, I think Roderick Strong has to get an automatic rematch for the belt. There's another guy who I'm going to bring up later who had a promo today who I think I know who it's about, and I think that guy gets a match immediately. But yeah, Dijakovic and Damian Priest. Priest hits that crucifix bomb on the apron all the time. I don't know how something like that doesn't hurt. It's just an absolute mess. These were two big guys. I mean, two gigantic dudes hit the right moves, hit the right everything. You know, and I hate to say this, this match lasted a little less than 10 minutes. I mean, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. What I'm looking for in this, and if this is a number one contendership match, which I don't believe they listed that as, but, you know, it's, there was one huge, let me say this, there was one huge move in this. Damian Priest hit that avalanche poison Rana on Dijakovic, which I thought was absolutely fantastic, ridiculous even. But if this was a number one contendership match, Dominik Dijakovic picked up the win, and I'm a huge Damian Priest fan. I think he has the world set up for him in NXT. There's just so many good guys right now in NXT and so few belts. I feel if you're going to have Dijakovic and Lee for the third time, kind of like a blow-off match, because they never had their blow-off match. They started teaming up, working with Matt Riddle and then Tommaso Ciampa. I think this will actually put on a good match. I've been kind of low on Dijakovic lately. You know, after War Games, I feel like starting with Survivor Series, things kind of went downhill. And I feel like this is a position where he's put in a position to work with a guy, Keith Lee, that he works very well with. I don't think it's a position that he needs to be in. Obviously, he's not going to win. And I say obviously, you know, because I said that about Angel Garza. But, you know, Keith Lee, they're not going to give up on him right away. He just got the belt. He's not going anywhere. But this was the right move, if that's the direction they're going, because it's an angle that never was truly finished. And I feel like this might be the blow-off for that feud, which would make 100% clear sense. Now, the next match that was on is Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai, and they did a nice little vignette of kind of like the friendship. It's almost like, you know, two little kids becoming, you know, friends and hanging out and doing stuff together, and it kind of shows them growing up. That's kind of what this vignette reminded me of. But you had Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai. I don't know. I can't assume that this is the end. Obviously, Candice LeRae showed up to stop Dakota Kai in the end from interfering or using a chair in the match, which allowed Tegan Nox to use the knee brace. She kind of hit her. I would have liked to seen this match end in some type of disqualification, maybe like a, you know, some type of disqualification where it kind of sets up a feud or an unable to continue on both parts. Like they Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai could have beat the crap out of each other to the point to where neither one could get up. Similar to the Gargano Ciampa like type storyline where you go, you have friends and you continue the feud. I don't think it's over. The booking on this was a little weird. You know, because you had Candice LeRae come out, you had Tegan Nox use the knee brace for the win. She didn't get the clean win. I mean, I know she hit the shiniest wizard, but she didn't get the clean win. And I can't imagine that this match has done. I mean, and here's, I've actually probably talked about this match longer than it lasted. I think it lasted less than 3 minutes. At most, it's going to get a 2 out of 5 for me, just because, you know, in the small amount of time, they did get some power. You know, there was some heel mentality. There was some stuff like that. Like I said, 2 out of 5. I'm being super generous here by 2 out of 5, because this has to continue. Like I said, this match should have ended. It did not. I don't think it was booked properly. You know, in the Shotzi Blackheart match earlier. So now we got 2 men's matches, 2 women's matches. I really don't feel that the women's matches right now have been very good. I feel like this one was, it has potential. Kind of like I said about Shotzi Blackheart in her career has potential. This feud has potential. It just needs to be realized, and I think it needs to be not on a bigger stage. I think this is a fantastic place for it. I just think that it needs the right attention, and it didn't get the attention it deserved today. The next match you have is Kayden Carter versus Chelsea Green. Now, Chelsea Green, I was kind of hyped up when she came out for the Royal Rumble. I thought she was going to have a good showing. She immediately gets thrown out. This match with Kayden Carter, it was about a 3-minute match. So far, we're pretty short on these matches. Kayden Carter gets the win, and I hate that I'm saying that. For the small package, she rolled her up as Chelsea Green was trash talking. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand why Chelsea Green gets the vignettes, gets the time, gets the things like that. If you're gonna have her lose right away, literally, you build somebody up to have them lose, and that, to me, that's just not the way you put somebody on there. I don't. Is it in terms of booking? We're gonna talk about booking again. Did she do something? Did she say or do something that she got knocked out of the Rumble as quick as she did? Was her punishment? Or are they literally playing the fact that she's so cocky, has the manager, says she deserves a title, gets the loss, and then is going to come back and dominate next week, maybe with a slight change of mentality, slight change of attitude? I don't know. Kayden Carter got the win. Again, not a good match. More trash talking, more wasting of time, I guess, than actual, you know, wrestling in action. But, you know, 1 out of 5 at the absolute most for this match. Very disappointing. Hoping to see a lot better from Chelsea Green. And that dumpster fire of a match leads straight into our main event, which is the Dusty Classic Finals. You have Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle as the Broserweights against the Grizzle Young Veterans, who I believe Gibson and Drake, I believe, are the last names. One thing I'm going to tell you about this, ton of action at the beginning. This, out of all matches on this card, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, this is the only match to catch on this card if you're going to go watch it back. For me, I would love to see Shotzi Blackheart, even though the match wasn't fantastic. I would love to see Finn Balor. I would watch that one, but the only match to talk about in this card was this match. Great main event, and like I said, by far the best thing that was on the show. The Grizzle Young Veterans are really good. I think they were great throughout the entire tournament. But for me, I never thought they were going to win. They were put in some spots where they did get a couple, you know, 2 counts, and not even really close 2 counts, but 2 counts. I feel, you know, this is about a 20-minute match. There was never a time where I was like, you know what, Matt Riddle, Pete Dunne, they're going to lose. Like, I never felt that. The only thing that I thought, and I thought this from before this this tournament started, that there might be something that happens where they hit each other, or there's a little bit of a cross-up to where they turn on each other. And I thought that would lead to a pretty good feud. You know, Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne, I thought that would be a fantastic feud. That did not happen. The Broserweights do pick up the win. Like I said, it was about 20 minutes. In saying that, they do get a shot at the NXT Tag Team belts against the Undisputed Era. Great match. Like I said, a lot of action. A lot of action in this match. Grizzled Veterans, like I said, great job finishing second. Like I said, the match to watch from this card. So, like, what stood out match-wise? Like I said, just talked about a Dusty Classic. Pretty much the only thing on here. Promo-wise, we had a promo earlier that had three circles, and it kind of shaped up. One was a 2, one was a 5, one was a 20. It kind of comes up now, the way I looked at it, was a 5, a 20, and a 2, or 5, a 2, 20. I forgot how it was, but the 2, 5, 20, it kind of, with the colors and everything, could we see the return of the Velveteen Dream? If we do see the return of the Velveteen Dream, do you put him in a feud, potentially with Roderick Strong, after Keith Lee disposes of Dijakovic? Do you put them in a match for a number one contendership for the North American Championship? Do you put them in a triple threat match? What do you do? I think the Velveteen Dream is in a great position at this point. Missed a lot of time, but I feel like he deserves to be right back in the draw to have a shot at the North American Championship. And then on for the big announcement. So after that promo, you have, but right after the Dijakovic Priest match, you had, there was some talk tonight about how William Regal was going to come and he was going to make a contract signing. So after the Dijakovic Priest match, after the commercial break, I should say, of course the commercial break, you had the Undisputed Era, who all were kind of like knocked down and laid out in the back, minus Adam Cole. Adam Cole was not there. It was a Fish Strong and O'Reilly. And you see Ciampa walk around. He had a pipe in his hand and his shirt was all ripped up. He limps away towards the arena. Cole finds the Undisputed Era down and heads to the arena. He calls out Ciampa for being a coward. Ciampa said he never lost a title. You know, he plays the daddy's home and he's in Goldie and, you know, all that talk. Ciampa demands he comes to the ring and sign a contract for the title match at TakeOver. Regal comes out and says that Cole's already signed that contract and he's not concerned about who he faces. So Cole brings him down to the ring. Ciampa charges to him. Cole hits him with a microphone. Ciampa fights him back, power bombs him through the table. It was fantastic, like an absolutely fantastic segment. Now Ciampa gets bloodied, and I think it was from the microphone shot to the head, and he signs a contract and wipes the blood on the paper, and on Goldie for that matter. The one thing I will say about Tommaso Ciampa is he's got a ton of energy. Like, and he's got a lot of, like, you know, people love Tommaso Ciampa, and some of it's because he's fought back. Well, you know, he was the biggest heel in NXT, probably the biggest heel since Kevin Owens in NXT when he was going after Gargano. But, you know, that's how quick he can flip the script and be a better, you know, be a babyface. It's just people get behind him, people like that, the power that he displays in terms of emotion, whether it's physical, verbal, visual. Like, he, you can tell there's fire behind those eyes every time he's looking for something. Fantastic, nice contract, blood contract signing. Only thing I didn't like is SmackDown just did that last week with The Fiend before the contract signing for the strap match. But this felt more legit. This wasn't like a psychotic monster who cuts into their hand to get some blood and rubs it on a piece of paper. That this was a little more legit. So where do we go from here? Well, next week, they mentioned Jordan Devlin appears, very excited about that. Will he wrestle? I don't know. Does he just talk? Who knows? There's also going to be an in-ring segment for Bianca Belair between her and Rhea Ripley. Now, I know there were some rumors that Charlotte Flair was going to talk and call out Rhea Ripley for the NXT Championship at WrestleMania. That did not happen tonight. Does it happen next week? Because, you know, Rhea Ripley does have to get through Bianca Belair. And do I think that's going to happen? Absolutely. I do not think Belair wins. I think it's been a great showing. Belair had a hell of a Royal Rumble. She's set up for a good spot. But Rhea Ripley just won the belt. I cannot imagine she loses. So let's move on to TakeOver Portland. This will be the last segment of the show. TakeOver Portland. Here's how the card looks so far. Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano. Fantastic. I think that is the first match that goes on the card. I can't. It may be the second at the longest, but I think you're going to want to start out the show hot. I think that's the match you go to. If you don't, you're going to go to the next match, which is the NXT Tag Team title match. Broserweights versus Undisputed Era. Do they take the belts off the Undisputed Era? I personally think they do. We'll see how it goes the next few weeks. You never know what happens to where I could change my mind. You got the NXT Women's title match. I don't know if I'm still allowed to call it that, but it's the NXT title match that a woman has, and that woman is Rhea Ripley. She's going to be facing Bianca Belair, like we were just talking about. And then the final match, just made tonight, Tommaso Ciampa versus Adam Cole for the NXT belt. I think this is where Ciampa wins it, and then they have their rematch at TakeOver Tampa right before WrestleMania. I think that's pretty much how this one is going to go. I appreciate you guys listening. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at TheCOPlace2Go. Feel free, again, to ask any questions, comments, positive, negative. I don't care. Say it. I want to talk to you. I want to bring it up on the show. Please. And I just looking forward to the continuous shows and looking forward to another takeover. I feel like worlds collide. Just being that it was last week in Royal Rumble, there's been a lot of wrestling going on recently that I've been excited about, even though I don't watch the main product. So being that we're going to have another show in about 3 weeks, super excited about it. But until then, on the 5th, if it's Velveteen Dream, we're going to have something crazy to talk about. Hope to see you guys soon.